You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Amy Scott. We are not in the predictions business, but lots of economists at big banks and brokerage firms are. And to read their predictions for the coming year, we could see anywhere from 3 interest rate hikes from the Fed for a total increase of 1%, all the way up to 7 increases for a total of almost 2%. Marketplace's Justin Ho gets us started with a look at what the wide range of forecasts tells us about the state of the economy.
Raising interest rates is often described as tapping the brakes on the economy, and how many times the Fed has to do that depends on the central bank's speedometer.
The speedometer is really measuring inflation.
That's Kathy Bosjancic, chief U.S. economist at Oxford Economics. She's predicting the Fed will tap the brakes lightly this year, 4 times. That's because she thinks that inflation needle is about to tick down.
Maybe February, March, and then it gradually moderates through Q2 and really slows dramatically in the second half of the year.
If inflation doesn't slow down and the speedometer starts creeping up, the Fed could tap the brakes and raise interest rates as many as 7 times this year. Guy Labat is chief fixed income strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott. Under that scenario, he says,
economic growth is probably still pretty good. Where businesses are hiking wages aggressively in order to get workers, and where inflation is still not yet under control.
Thing is, it's tough to find the sweet spot here. Kathy Jones is chief fixed income strategist at Charles Schwab, a current Marketplace underwriter.
How do you tap on the brakes just enough to slow down to the cruising speed you want to achieve when you really don't know what that cruising speed exactly is in this environment?
Jones says the Fed could slam on the brakes and raise rates by more than expected, but that's risky.
It just makes it harder to finance activity, and that slows down the economy and eventually can lead to a recession.
The Fed is keeping its options open. George Perks is macro strategist at Bespoke Investment Group.
And they've also been quite good about saying, look, this is all contingent on forecasts, and we may have a different economy to deal with in the future than we think we're going to have to deal with. So it could be that none of this is necessary. We just don't know.
Perk says how many times the Fed hikes interest rates will depend on what that inflation speedometer is reading every time the central bank's leadership meets. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
If you find yourself bracing for the total at the grocery store checkout these days, imagine buying in bulk. Restaurant owners are paying a lot more for food these days as well, plus supplies and labor. But passing those higher costs on to customers isn't always so simple. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab looked into some of the ways restaurants are adapting.
Jeremy Marin has raised prices at his Cuban restaurant, Havana Central, 10 to 15% since the beginning of the pandemic, and it's still not covering his increase in food cost. But he's hesitant to raise prices more.
I'm selling rice and beans. You know, I'm not selling expensive, fancy stuff. So there is a limit.
So he's cut the menu at his locations in New York and New Jersey in half, which requires less labor and wastes less food. More intricate plates like paella and mofongo were the first to go. It's a tricky balance. Some customers have noticed.
Because we have people who, you know, we've got a lot of regular guests and a lot of them come in and they order the same thing over and over again.
People are really sensitive to change, especially when it comes to price. Doug Roth, a restaurant consultant in Chicago, says the more affordable a restaurant is, the more attuned to pricing customers are.
I would say casual, lower end, you have to be very careful.
So some businesses shrink portions. Domino's, for instance, says it's changing its $7.99 chicken wing deal from 10 pieces to 8. Rick Kamak at the Institute of Culinary Education says shrinkflation can turn off many customers.
If they don't have 1.5 times what they can eat, they feel like they're being ripped off.
Kamak says a more common strategy is not redoing or repricing menus, but rearranging them, hiding dishes with the lowest profit margins.
If I don't want you to buy a certain item, but I want it on the menu, maybe for price value to make it look like the, you know, it's a value sensitive menu, I'm going to bury it in the middle of a column.
There are also those sneaky add-ons. That burger always looks reasonable until you realize you have to add an extra $1.50 for cheese. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.